This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Safety pins. They are small, sharp, sometimes critical, but seemingly unremarkable. On closer look, the history of the cloth diaper closures and in-a-pinch wardrobe modifiers is a bit more fascinating. Can't help myself. Writer Ted Kolcheski is a contributor to Worn Fashion Journal. His article, Safety Dance, How the Safety Pin Became a Revolutionary Fashion Accessory, is one of those collected in what is called the first ever Worn Archive. It's an anthology of their issues. Ted Kolcheski, welcome to Word of Mouth.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell us a little bit about Walter Hunt, the inventor of the safety pin, who I guess was pretty much in a bind when they sold a patent for his invention. Can you give us the story?
Yeah, well, from what I understand, he came from upstate New York and came from a family of 13 children and had a good number of children himself. And also, from what I understand, might have been a bit of a gambler. So he was often in debt. But apparently he was good with his hands and had a bit of a mechanical mind. So he struck it well with a subway bell. It occurred to him, he saw a kid get struck by a streetcar, and it occurred to him, why didn't they ring the bell? Why did that kid get hit? And so he invented one that could be pushed with the operator's foot, which netted him a bit of money. So then he spent a lot of time trying to come up with inventions. And one day, his back was against the wall, and he was fiddling with a piece of wire. He was like, if only I could invent something with this piece of wire that could earn me a patent, and he came up with the safety pin.
And did he get a patent?
Apparently he sold. He was, you know, didn't have the money to deal with the patent office and stuff like that, so he sold it to a company for about $400.
Oh boy, $400.
Well, that's about $10,000 in today's money. So
it's a fair bit of money, but it's kind of like the doorknob. I mean, everybody uses him, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, how did hygiene factor into its rising popularity?
The big thing was, at that point in time, people had just discovered the microscope and had discovered germs. Mm. So there was a bit more awareness, particularly with infants, about how clean they were going to be. So previous to that, people had reused a lot of very sturdy, durable, sort of leather diapers for children with elaborate tying systems on them. The idea of a cloth that you could wash on a daily basis seemed to be much more clean to a lot of people, and the safety pin came along at just the right time to accommodate those cloth diapers.
So later, long after cloth diapers had taken a dive, the safety pin made the jump from diaper fastener to fashion accessory and political statement. This was in the 1970s. What was the story there?
There was an explosion on New York's Lower East Side of a music that even before it was called punk, it was just a bunch of bands writing original music that wasn't exactly in step with the more dancey or experimental progressive musics of the day. And one of the bands, Television, the bass player and sometime vocalist Richard Hell, was well known for wearing his everyday clothes on stage at that point. And of course, this is the era of bands like Kiss and the Bay City Rollers and this sort of thing, where very Elton John, so very elaborate stage outfits were the norm. And this band was starting to make a bit of a name for itself by wearing their street clothes. Now, legend has it from a few different people that Richard Hell's street clothes had been ripped up to shreds and he had a show coming up. So he bought a package of safety pins and safety pinned his clothes back together. It's always struck me as a little odd, but apparently the photographer Bob Gruen says that what had happened was his girlfriend had actually taken a razor blade to every piece of clothing in his wardrobe during some fight, and he had no choice but to, at that point, safety pin things back together.
Oh, boy.
Richard Hell has just last year came out with an autobiography where he denies the whole thing, but I'm skeptical because it comes from so many sources. But by almost common consent, he was the first one to wear the safety pin as a fashion statement.
Well, I find that so interesting because I actually thought it must have started in the UK. But you say it actually became a staple of New York City's punk scene and then migrated to the UK.
Yeah, well, Malcolm McLaren, who was the sort of marketing wing of Vivienne Westwood's
The fashion designer.
The fashion designer. She was an up-and-coming fashion designer, and Malcolm McLaren was sort of her manager slash retailer. He had come over to New York and had dipped his toe, and it had occurred to him that having a band might be a good advertisement for some clothes that were going on. So he offered to manage a few New York bands that were around at the time, but most notably suggested to some of the kids hanging around Vivian Westwood in his store in London that maybe they'd want to start wearing the safety pin as a statement.
Well, a few attempts at a comeback with the safety pin. Vivian Westwood even brought it back in gold a couple of years ago. How'd it go over?
Well, you know, she keeps bringing it back as far as I can tell. Like right now on her website, she's got a gold phallic safety pin, which emphasizes some of the more male aspects of the safety pin that she's hawking in gold and rose for $75 a pop. So I think it's probably a steady earner for her, especially with there was a big exhibit at the Met last year, mm-hmm. I guess, for punk and fashion. So I can't see how it wouldn't continue to be a fair source of inspiration for her.
Ted Kolchesky, thank you for this little, I guess, unknown history of the safety pin in fashion.
Thank you very much for having me.
Ted Kolchesky is a writer. He's also a contributor to the Worn Fashion Journal. His article, Safety Dance, How the Safety Pin Became a Revolutionary Fashion Accessory, is one of those published in what is called the Worn Archive. It is an anthology of the first, 14 issues of the Worn Fashion Journal. You can find more at wordofmouthradio.org. Word of Mouth continues with a woman whose wit targeted the fatuous, comfortable status quo as sharply as any safety-pinned punk rocker, the irrepressible Sandra Bernhard. She'll join us to talk about which buttons she feels need pushing in 2014. That's after the news from NHPR.